Today I have a great privilege of talking to Barbara Marks, who was an original military wife. Is that true, Barbara?
Yes.
Tell us about your military wife story. Where did you meet your military husband?
During the war, he was evacuated to, I think, Somerset. He then came to Winchester, where he had two maiden aunts and lived in Winchester. I worked in the castle in Winchester, and we used to organise dances and things in the Guild Hall. And I went with another co-worker, a young man, and I was introduced to Harry. I suppose I was only about 17 or something like that.
So this was serious young love, and Harry was already in the Air Force, was he?
No, he was waiting to go into the Air Force, and while he was waiting, he worked in the local police station in Winchester.
So he was very young too then?
Yes, he was.
Yes. You were babies.
He was waiting to get to the age where they would, you know, call him up. He was waiting to go in.
And how old was that then?
Must have been 18.
So when you fell in love with your Harry, and you were both very young, you began with him a whole career in the Air Force. Is that really what happened?
Well, in a way, of course, but he wasn't, you know, once he was in the Air Force, I mean, he went to America to do, because he went in as a pilot, but he ended up as a navigator. So he was stationed in Heaton Park in Manchester, waiting to go to America to do his pilot training.
So you fell in love in Winchester. He went off to America. And how soon after that did you get married?
I was married in August the 19th, 1944. Pour the rain.
And where were you living then? Where were you stationed?
I was still in Winchester. I was in the main headquarters of the Royal Observer Corps, number 3 group. And I was one of these funny ladies that sat around with earphones and moved things all over the table.
So you joined up at that point then? You'd left your job?
Yes, I had to do something and at the castle. And I decided, to go into the Royal Observer Corps.
So, Barbara, tell me about the fashion. What was the uniform that you were wearing at this time?
I have a picture somewhere. RAF colour, blouse type, and a skirt, very like the WAF skirts, but not such nice materials they had. And then a big tammy with the Observer Corps brooch, and, of course, a RAF shirt, blue shirt, and a tie.
So you lived for a number of years in uniform then yourself?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So we're charting a course ourselves really over the last 60 years or longer. So tell us a story of all the places that you went as a military wife. Which country did you first get posted to?
We didn't go to, because he didn't pass being a pilot, in the meantime he trained as a navigator. And he was still doing his navigation when the war finished. We had, and he was in the Isle of Man, Jerby, Isle of Man, the airport there. And because it was the end of the war, the Observer Corps said that I could, you know, take leave and go and join Harry, which I did. So that was really the first place we lived, and we lived in a funny little cottage. Just Sandown, I think the little village was called, which was walkable distance to Jerby Airfield, where Harry did most of his finishing off his training.
So in the course of your career, as you're going around different parts of Europe to live as part of this world, did you start sailing as a hobby?
Yes, strangely enough, this was the other thing that we were interested in. Harry's mother and father, who lived in Clevedon in Somerset, And we used to go down on our motorbike every weekend and go sailing in dinghies.
So that was the beginning of your sailing career, huh?
It was really, yes.
And so the different parts of Europe that you lived in with the RAF then, did you sail wherever you were?
Oh yes, always, because the RAF always have sailing clubs, you know.
So did you learn to sail as well then?
Yes. When we went to Gibraltar, we bought a little bilge keeler, 25 feet long, I think. In fact, we had it moored next door to the governor's boat in Gibraltar.
So your sons would join you on that then? So this was a family affair, was it?
Oh, well, yes, because, you know, everywhere we went, they were... always interested in sailing, and of course they took it up as well.
You get to Naples, is that, and you lived in Naples for some time?
That wasn't till later. Our first posting was to Cyprus.
And did you fall in love with Cyprus? Did you love it?
Oh yeah, I loved it, yes.
And where were you based in Cyprus?
Episcopi, which was the main headquarters. There were two villages. One was called Gibraltar, and it was set in a kind of valley, Happy Valley, where there was a very nice area for, they played polo, everything there, you know, and a tunnel through to a lovely beach where we all used to go, and we used to have chip butties for the boys, you know, keep them quiet.
So this was a little England in the middle of Cyprus, was it?
Well, in a way it was, but we still used to go out quite a lot, even though there was still a bit of bother. People were very friendly there. We got friendly with the people, the weekends, like everything else, they go up and camp in the mountains a bit. And on the way up, they stop at the church and insist on us going in. Yes, it was very entertaining in Cyprus.
So as a military family going to Cyprus, and you were travelling with your boys, did you go on a military aircraft or did you go on something nice like we go on now?
It was a chartered, big chartered aeroplane. Huge, I've forgotten what the make was. But it was the first time I'd been on a very big aeroplane, and directly I got in, the children were taken away from me, and because I was an officer's wife, you go to the rear because it's supposed to be the safest place.
So your children are separated,
so
and
they're up the
so
front.
They're up the front. And they're expendable, but you're an officer's wife, so you've got right.
Yes.
Okay.
And Geoffrey, my middle son. He was so nosy, he kept coming down and making sure I was all right, and he ended up with the pilot, you know, showing him what to do. But he was the one that came. You're all right, Mum, you know.
But were you drinking your gin and tonic at the same time?
No, you didn't get things like that.
They didn't really look after you first class then.
No, it was nothing like that at all. No.
So after Cyprus, where then?
Cornwall. That's to right. St Morgan's, because Harry was a fully fledged navigator then, you see, so, and he was on 42 Squadron, which was search and rescue. We always ended up going back to St Morgan,
right.
Gibraltar.
So Cornwall or Gibraltar became kind of home bases that you went.
Yes, it did.
So how long did you ever live anywhere before you got to Naples, which I think you lived a bit longer, but...
You usually did about two and a half years. Mm. And strangely enough, you know, you got itchy feet, or I did, and I used to say, you know, isn't it time we were posted somewhere?
And as far as your children's education and life was concerned, was that looked after by the RAF?
Well, no, not really. It was up to you. And when we went to Gibraltar, Peter came out with us. but the other two were in boarding school. Well, they joined the naval cadets because there wasn't an ATC, air training corps, like there normally is. And so that they could come out on a Shackleton, which Harry was flying, to come and see it, long holidays, you know, summer and sometimes Easter. But the rest of the time, of course, they used to go and stay with my mother, who was still alive in Winchester. And it always rained there. And I said, well, you don't like going to Winchester. It always rains.
So I'm just now trying to get you here to the port of Solia, because that's where we're chatting right now.
Yes.
On your balcony, overlooking the most magnificent views. So how did you come here? On what and how?
Well, you see, eventually we decided that we would. In the meantime, of course, we bought a house at in St Morgan Village. We bought that when we went to Naples. Well, that's another story, really, because Harry really wasn't going to be posted to Naples. He was going to Sharjah, up the Red Sea, up a creek. It's arsehole of the world, I think. So Harry went to Ireland to see the boss who was going to be leading the thing to Sharjah. And when he came back, his wing commander said, the commander wants to see you in the office. And he said, well, he said, Mark, you're not being posted to Sharjah, you're going to Naples. And Harry said, Naples, Italy? Well, there isn't any other Naples.
So that was your longest posting anyway. So did you get bored with Italy?
No, I loved it. Well, because we did, from there, we went on to many trips to Greece and Turkey. Because Harry being, you know, he had to do all the wash-ups and the setting up for the NATO exercises and things like that.
So his career took him from the war to really sorting out peace?
Yes, in a way, I suppose it did, yes.
So, Barbara, then, are we on our way to the port of Solia yet?
Oh, dear, of course, I keep going off on a tangent, don't I? So we go to live in our house, and Harry retires. And he said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we both like sailing. And he said, well, shall we have a look around? And so we did. We went to look, and we ended up at Christchurch, where we eventually bought a catamaran, because we thought it's more of a caravan, really. And we had it made while we were there.
You had a purpose-built catamaran built for you?
Yeah.
Ah, that sounds great. What was the name? What did you call it?
Dopo Domani. Dopo Domani is the day after tomorrow. Like manana, manana. And because that was Italian. And we hoped we might get back to Italy, really, once we, you know, had the boat.
So you still have had a house in Cornwall?
We had a house in Cornwall. But then, of course, when it came to we were going to leave, we put it up for sale. Then we eventually got on the boat and we left Plymouth. And we went to, we were going to San Marlo. But because of the wind, we ended up at, was it Cherbourg? Any rate, it doesn't matter.
So you left in June 1980 on your catamaran after its wonderful launch. And what was your route? Where were you going?
Well, we were going down the canals, of course, because we were hoping to get, you know, we didn't want to go across Biscay. We had Peter on board, my daughter-in-law, Carolyn, and her son. And then we came down, and at somewhere along the line, we had to drop off Carolyn and Philip to go back to England. And then it was just Peter and Harry and I. And we eventually ended up in Barcelona.
So you've come down France through the Canals de Midi then, have you?
Yes. Yeah.
That's the route. Yes. So, okay, so you got to the bottom of France, and you're into Barcelona. You haven't got to Italy yet then?
Oh, no, because we never went to Italy. We were thinking of settling in Costa del Sol, you see, because when we were in Gibraltar, the property was, quite reasonable. But coming down, we went to lots of places, and, it was all gone up again. It was too expensive for us.
So you're sailing down the Spanish coast looking for somewhere to buy, to live,
yes,
as a retirement home.
Yes, we went into every little port we could think of, And then, as I say, we ended up in Barcelona, and then we got this card saying, you're there, you might just as well come and see us.
And who sent you that card?
Ursula and Douglas MacLeod.
Were they friends from way back then?
Yes, ex-REF.
And where had they based themselves then?
Well, they're here. They live here.
So they had already retired to the Port of Sawyer?
Yes, they retired here, and that's how we got here.
And do you remember when you sailed across from Barcelona into Mallorca? Where did you come to? Did you come into Palma?
Oh, no. It's easier to go quite a direct route to the port.
So your first introduction to Mallorca was by sailing into the port of Sawyer, having never been to Mallorca before?
No.
And what was your first impression?
Well, strangely enough, about so many miles out, our steering gear went on the boat. And suddenly there was no steering, and the weather was pretty nasty. So at any rate, these two all panicked, and Harry, and I said, on the back of the boat, there's an emergency tiller. Oh, yes, says so they got the tiller off and put it on a great big iron thing like that. And they could only do hold it for 10 minutes at a time. I mean, I couldn't use it, but... So anyway, we eventually got into the entrance of the boat, and it was a pretty rough day, and it was one of the days when the ferry boats come out and just take you to show the customers that the weather's not worth going up there. And they realised that we were in trouble, and they sort of let us in.
So you arrived having lost your steering,
and in
the kind of weather conditions that stop our sailors going out of the port because it's so bad.
And it was so unbelievable because once you came into the port, and being a catamaran, you can get up very close because you only draw about 3 feet. There was two boats in there.
In the whole of the Port of Sawyer, there were just two boats that day. You arrived.
Yes. But, of course, it was so calm. Of course, you couldn't believe it, And, of course, lovely weather as well, the sun was out and everything.
So you got off the boat, and did you meet your friends immediately?
Yes, they were watching, or the daughter was, and I think she swam out to us.
And so did you get back on the boat very soon after that? Or you were sleeping on the boat, presumably?
Oh, yes, we were.
So the boat was your home for how long?
All the time we were there, because we spent the rest of the summer there.
So when did you buy the house that we're sitting in right now?
85. I think it was 85. Harry's aunt used to come out, Aunt Lorna, used to come out and stay. And she spent her time following the sun all the way around. And she looked over and she said, you see that house over there with the blue shutters? That's always got the sun. Why don't you go and buy that? It belonged to the Hotel Port of Sawyer. It was their annex. We went over and spoke to the five owners there were. They were all Mallorquins then at that place. We spoke to them and said that it was up for sale, and so we all arranged to meet and do a deal. The boat was worth more than what the house was.
So while you were living here, did you enjoy the boat? Did you go on trips?
You had to get out every 6 months or so.
So the residency at that time meant that you couldn't stay permanently.
No.
Was that the correct?
No, that was right. You couldn't stay.
So So you stopped being itinerant then, and you had to register where you were living, and you became a resident here like the rest of us, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, we did, once we bought the house.
And what about your life since you've been here living in the Port of Solihull? Bearing in mind that all your married life, you'd never lived anywhere more than 4 years, so that was Naples. So you've lived here for 30 years?
Must be that, must, yeah.
And what is your connection here so that made you want to stay so long?
I think the only thing that upsets me, because when we used to go away and back to England, we used to drive home or get a taxi or something, or even come on the tram, and to come round that corner and just see the port like it used to be. No, you can't do that anymore.
So what can't you see now then?
I seldom now get a chance to see what the port looks like, you know, because you can't drive along there.
No. Actually, you're absolutely right, because even it's not that long ago where we could all drive along the front. So you knew exactly what was going on the front. Now with the pedestrianised area and moving the tram and everything, the only people that can drive down there are the people that live there.
Yeah.
And the rest of us can't. So you're completely right. That's not a vision. You don't have that anymore. You don't just drive along the sea.
It's something you miss. And I mean, the other thing is, of course, I used to be able to see a little bit of the port, but now you can a little bit from the top place, but...
Yeah, I mean, in the last 30 years, there have been tremendous changes, but there's always a new generation that's discovering it and loving it just like you do.
Yes, it's a changing world, isn't it?
So this is the place you've lived longest.
Well, it is now, isn't it, really?
It is, yeah. That's quite an achievement for someone that's been such a gypsy. You've been a gypsy, really. You've been all over the world and spent your life in all these interesting places. And
of course, when Harry died, you know, I did go with my friend. We used to go off on cruises to various places. So, you know, we went to Egypt and the Caribbean. But I can't do that. And of course, even after Harry died, I still used to go to America. But of course, it's too much for me now. It's such a long way, really. And you couldn't have two sons that live farther apart, one in California and the other one in Florida. I mean, Richard and Carolyn in England. And of course, when I go and stay, it was always normally in the winter time in England, because they go off on Double Domani every year around about April, May time.
The boat is still in the family then,
yes,
is it?
Yes, it's still in the family. When they took it over, they kept it at Alcudia for quite a while until they were able to, you know, because they were both working at the time, get time to take it back to England, which they did eventually.
Well, Barbara, you know, this has been an absolute pleasure, and the idea that you rocked up here with no engine, rescued outside the harbour mouth, and then this has been your place in the universe for the last 30 odd years,
yes,
is just fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us.
It's a pleasure. I hope it's not too involved. I kind of, you know, I suddenly think of something and I think, oh yes, that happened, didn't it?
Absolutely delightful. Thank you very much. Ship ahoy!